Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Welcome back to the most listened to program in all of the Sand Hills. It's time once again for Mornings with the Leader Man. I am Steve Leader Adams, along with Stephen Woodward this morning. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Leader Man. Great to be with you on another fabulous Friday.
Don't forget, of course, we're being heard and seen around the world on our live stream. That's available to you from our website at talk973.com or talk1041.com or weeb990.com. Any one of the three will get you where you need to be. And that's the upper right-hand corner of any page where it says On the Air Listen Live. Click that icon. You should be listening. If you're not, go down to the bottom of the page for the fallback player and press the play button there. Weather for us today here in the Sand Hills area, it's going to be mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of rain showers, high of 74. Tonight, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a low of 57. And for Saturday, you'll see some sunshine, clouds, maybe an isolated thunderstorm too. 80% chance that you will get wet. Sunday, more of the same, but the chance drops to 40%. And Monday, as you go back to work, mostly sunny with a high of 54. Right now, here in the Sand Hills, we got some light rain, 65 degrees, humidity 99%, dew point 65, wind southeast at 3, and pressure is 30.15. It is 8:30, 30 past the hour on this TSI. I think, Steve, it's Friday. That would be me. But
thank you. Thank you very much.
Anyway, we got a special guest in here today. We try to bring those that have the guts to run for an office and are passionate about it to give them a chance to educate you about it. And this morning we got Michelle Morrow, who is running for the Superintendent of Public Instruction. And so with that, let me give you the first couple of minutes, Michelle, just to tell them who you are and why are you getting in this race.
Thank you so much for having me. I am a concerned citizen who has been a bold reformer here in North Carolina, and I am getting in because I believe that the educational system is failing to prepare our children to be productive, critically thinking, hardworking adults who appreciate and understand the responsibility and the blessing it is to be citizens of the greatest country in the history of the world.
All right, well, I'll start out. One of my pet peeves is that you see it on the nightly news. Saw it last night on all the legitimate news channels, that being Fox, where they were showing you the chaos at the border and feds pulling down razor wire and the National Guard for Texas putting it back up. Bottom line, a lot of people get through. A lot of people have gotten through, about 12 million so far. And they've been shipped everywhere from Martha's Vineyard to every crook and cranny in this country.
Yes.
Including North Carolina. Now, I'm with a lot of people where we say it gets old. In fact, let me back up. The VP last night said they want more money, the Dems do, want more money for the border and a law giving them a pathway to citizenship. And you talk about something's going to throw numbers everywhere. This is it. It's not up to us to support these people. Now, when they get to the public schools, we got laws that says, well, you must provide a translator. And my idea is you throw them all in one auditorium and you put one person there teaching them English. And when they can pass the course, then they can be productive and go to other classes. But to have to put a translator with each one, that does not stick well with me. What say you?
I would agree 100%. Actually, my husband and I lived 4 years in Mexico City. Three of my five kids were born there, and I understand very well what has been happening at the border. And that's actually how I got involved in politics to begin with. When we moved back here 9 years ago, I was incredibly concerned at what I was seeing. But when you talk about the educational system, we need to understand something. Right now, it is 50% of our tax money, our state money, is going toward the K through 12 educational system. And not only are our children, the citizens of North Carolina, not able to read or do math at grade level, but we are losing teachers in you know, exorbitant numbers. And when I'm talking to teachers across the state, it is because they cannot handle the vast needs of all of the children in their classroom, right? Because the less teachers that you have, the more kids that you're going to have in a classroom. So then you have children that, as to your point, do not speak English. So you know what's happening to them all day long? They're sitting on an iPad and they're playing games.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically just in a holding pattern. They are not.
I wonder who gave them that iPad.
That was us, and we paid for that. But the other thing is, so then you have the kids on the opposite spectrum who are gifted and talented, right? And they're not being challenged. And then you've got children with special needs and IEPs and issues in the classroom. And then you've got the children, you know, that are typical learners. And you've got this broad array. So spending money and allowing, you may have heard about the story just yesterday that was being talked about in New Hanover, where the superintendent stated that they were going to close down one of the schools there, Mosley High School, and they were going to make it be basically a refugee camp. And thankfully, the people pushed back and he finally backed off and said, okay. But we need to recognize in 2016, there was a newcomer toolbox that was created with the U.S. Department of Education. And I have a pretty good idea of why they did it in 2016, because they saw what was coming down the pike with President Trump, and they understood he means business. He's going to put Americans first, and he is going to put a wall and ensure that people are only coming here legally. Our not only our educational system, we cannot handle giving social services to people who are not citizens and who are not giving into the tax system here in North Carolina or in the United States.
They are takers from the moment they cross the border. Where's my iPad? Where's my food? Where's my clothes? Where's my camp? Where's my blanket? And so forth. Oh, and my plane ticket to where I want to go.
Right. And I think for the educational system, we need to focus on the basics of education, because if you go and look at this toolbox, the one thing that is academic is the goal is to help these newcomers to learn the English language. I'm 100% in favor of that. I actually have a pretty comprehensive plan for how we would do that. I think that when anyone comes here, regardless of what language you are speaking, if you cannot speak English, your first year of school needs to be focused on English language learning. Mm-hmm. You can participate in extras, you can do sports, you can do art and music, but the basic foundational studies, they should wait for a year. So people should know that. In addition, our public schools, we're all paying, right, for the public schools to be a building. Why are we not teaching ESL classes, teaching naturalization courses, and helping the parents to be integrated to becoming citizens so that then they can have a stronger connection with the teachers to help their student to survive?
Here's one quick question. I want Stephen to get in here, but why not gather them up and ship them back?
Well, I don't think the educational system has an option to do that. But I'll tell you, if we actually had law and order at our border, and if we are actually a sovereign country and we were focused on that fact, it wouldn't be a problem. Most people don't know. You know what's on the southern border of Mexico? Soldiers with machine guns. There are very few countries in South America who have open borders and anybody can just come in as they want to.
Well, they kind of suck at their job because a whole lot of people come through.
Well, but that's because they're getting money. They're getting funded to bring these people to the United States. Mm-hmm. Most people don't recognize when people were coming here kind of before all of this was, you know, I mean, even when Barack Obama was in office, they would pay $5,000 to $7,000 for a coyote to find the spots along the border that were easily accessible, right? People in Mexico don't have $5,000 or $7,000. That's how they ended up being indentured servants. That's how they ended up being in the drug trafficking, because they owed these coyotes to get them over. That's right. And
they're
child trafficking, sex trafficking, all the rest of it. And you're never free, right? You never pay back that debt, right?
Well, they keep you in debt, so you keep on working for them.
That's right. And so we're just encouraging that. And with the fact that North Carolina is now number 3 in the nation for child trafficking. We have got to get a hold on this.
All right, Stephen, you're right back.
Wow, that's a dubious distinction.
Yep.
Let me ask you about the actual job that you're running for.
Okay.
For one thing, excuse me, the superintendent of public instruction is on the Council of State, but has no vote. That means that the job you're auditioning for would require you to be quite a hellraiser if you want to get things done.
That's right.
I think we have seen the current superintendent has sort of been slowly and surely marginalized, if not silenced in many regards, by a Democrat governor, a absentee lieutenant governor, and so on and so forth. So how would you assure potential voters that you can actually make a difference in a role that seems to come with many limitations?
I would be an advocate and I would be a spokesperson. When you do not have the gavel, you need the microphone. And I think that the people of North Carolina deserve to know what's really happening behind the scenes and who is pushing the agenda. I would say the incumbent right now, who is my opponent, she has done more than just be silent. She has rubber stamped everything from the U.S. Department of Education. We need a firewall. We need someone who is going to stand there and say no to the overreach of the U.S. Department of Education and to work with the legislature to take their rightful place as the head of the public school system in North Carolina. We need for someone to take those laws and to go to that State Board of Education and have policies that are going to line up with the laws so that they can vote on those policies that are going to be helpful. What's happened right now, which is very unfortunate, is, for instance, the Parental Bill of Rights that was just signed this past summer. What did Catherine Truitt do? She ended up pushing back its start date until January of this year because they said, we're not ready. Well, here's the problem. That bill was being discussed for over a year. Why did the DPI, why were they not already trying to figure out policies so that on day one that law comes down, that we override Cooper's veto, why were they not ready to hand out a policy to all the 115 school districts and say, this is how you're going to implement it? That's what needs to happen, because the legislature sets the law, the State Board of Education sets the policy, and the superintendent sets the agenda for those meetings. So she needs to come with an agenda, with answers, with the problems that are solved, right? And say, you guys just need to spend your time today picking from policy A, B, or C. All of them are going to uphold this law, and that's how we hold the superintendents of the districts accountable and the school boards.
Let me remind everybody, we're talking with Michelle Morrow, who is running for superintendent of public instruction, which is a statewide office, Stephen.
Yes, it is. Michelle, thank you again for coming in. One of the, right here in Moore County, one of the things that we see is that the iron boot of the State Board of Education can oftentimes derail the best intentions of a local school board. Mm-hmm. So I think what we're really needing in 2024 in the election cycle is a complete overhaul, wouldn't you agree, of not only the Department of Public Instruction, but the State Board of Education, which I guess would be driven by the arrival of a Republican governor.
Yes, I completely agree. Everything needs to be transformed. But here's the problem. Here's the rub. Those that are appointed to the State Board of Education have an 8-year term. Mm. And as they do, which it's very strategic, there's just been 2 new people appointed because those other people were probably going to, you know, their term was going to run out while a Republican potentially governor was going to be in the spot. And so they're smart and they've gotten somebody in there now and that's an 8-year term. But here's the thing. I really believe education is the most uniting issue in all of this state. Because regardless of your race, your religion, or your politics, we want the best for our children. And so that's where you need to come from, right? You need to come from solutions that are not partisan, right? But that just simply make sense.
That's true. For example, the prevalence of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, or as you call it, much, much more on target, discrimination, exclusion, and indoctrination.
That's right.
Now, how do you begin to eradicate something that is so entrenched in the DNA of public education, not only in this state, but really all over the country?
Well, we first need to see where this is really stemming from, and it's coming from the U.S. Department of Education. And most people don't recognize that only 11% of all of our money that comes to our schools comes from the U.S. Department of Education. So the first thing that really needs to happen is we need to have an internal audit done by external forces, but we really need to see where is our money going, because the DPI just keeps getting larger. And actually, the incumbent that I'm going against increased it 4 times in the number of people that were underneath her. And so here's the problem. The U.S. Department of Education says, oh, do you guys need some help? Do you want some money? But we always know it comes with strings attached, right? What did Ronald Reagan say? The scariest words in the English language is, I'm the government and I'm here to help. So what happens is, if you look over like the last 10 to 12 years, what the U.S. Department of Education has said is, oh, you guys need some extra funding. So in order to get this funding, you need to have Common Core, right? So what do you need when you have Common Core? You need a whole department, because we're going to rewrite all of the curriculum, right? So we're going to put department heads and administrators and policy writers and all this kind of stuff, just people that we're going to pay to do Common Core. And then we realize after 3 or 4 years, our kids still can't read or do math. So maybe we need to talk to them about how they feel about math. So then we're going to do the social emotional learning, right? But in order to do social emotional learning and to really get down to the heart of how kids feel, we need to do the iPads, because that's how they're getting data mining from our kids. That's how they're asking them these surveys, right, that have been exposed. Mm-hmm. And that's how they're giving this information to the CDC and the NIH and to other nebulous forces that do not have our best interests at heart. So then that's not helping our kids academically. So then we say, okay, we need more money. Okay, well, if you want money now, we're going to do CRT. All the teachers have to be trained to understand their inherent, you know, bias if they're white, and their victimization if they're any other color. And then that wasn't quite working, so now we're going to do DEI. The problem is we just keep adding all of these programs and the funding and the personnel to make sure that we're jumping through the hoops to get the 11%, and we're paying them. We're paying more money than we're receiving, essentially, from the U.S. Department of Education.
Well, that's a comforting thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, wow. It makes sense to our big government, but not to the taxpayer.
That's right. So we need to get back to the basics of education. And if I'm the head of the DPI, what we're going to be doing after this audit, we are going to ensure every dollar starts at the school, right? We're not starting with the trickle down from the administrators. We're starting with what the teachers need in salaries. We're starting with the resources in the classroom. We have been desperately low on special ed teachers for years here in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. We need to give them the resources. They need the teachers that they require to be as successful as possible. So that's where it needs to start. Boots on the ground, the people that are doing the hard work, trying to prepare our children for adult life, trying to prepare them to be able to get into careers that are going to be lucrative and personally, rewarding. That's where the money goes first, the infrastructure that's supporting that, and then we come upward in. We leave the leftovers to the administrators rather than leftovers to the teachers, is my opinion.
Makes a lot of sense. Difficult to do.
Yes.
There's so much that is broken about public education. It's often hard to know kind of where to start. And part of that, as you alluded to earlier, is the teacher shortage that is, I mean, we see it here in Moore County.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask something on that.
Yeah.
If a person has a 4-year degree, they're allowed to teach, right? As long as they're working on extra courses.
That's a great question, because that's one of the things that actually needs to be changed. And it is one of the things that the superintendent actually has jurisdiction over, is teacher licensure. And if you go to kind of the website of how you become a teacher, if you didn't go through the educational, get an educational degree from a college or university, then there's a whole different process that you have to go through. And as I travel the state, I am hearing repeatedly from people, listen, I have a master's in econ. I've been a financier for this many years. I want to go back. I've retired. I've run a business. I've done this. I'd love to go back and be in the middle schools or the high schools. They're not letting me in. And that needs to change.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Because you got people with real life experiences
that's right.
that can bring come to the classroom instead of book knowledge.
That's right. Or instead of pushing the agenda. We all know, and we've talked about, the left is rewarding people who push an agenda rather than who are effective in doing their actual job.
Right, right.
And many of the young teachers who come into the system are pre-wired through their university experience, especially if they've received a degree in education,
right.
which is, you know, probably not even a legitimate degree anymore. They're pre-wired. They come in with an agenda. They are activists. They are not really educators.
Exactly.
And then they look around and say, well, what are you talking about? You want the kids to be able to read proficiently at grade level? What does that have to do with anything?
Well, we'll need more money for that, Steve, because, you know, we haven't trained them. This was intriguing. I was in one of the counties, and they were talking about, the superintendent was talking and saying, oh, we've got this great letters program, which is one of the reading programs that is helping kids to learn to read. And they said, and this is wonderful because we're going to offer master's level classes to our teachers so that they can teach children how to read. And I'm like, well, how long have they been teaching that they don't know how to teach the kids
right.
to read, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Speaking of strokes of genius by the current superintendent, I read with great amusement the other day that they are proudly announcing that North Carolina has become the fourth state in the union that will integrate artificial intelligence into its curriculum so that children will learn how to adapt to the inevitability of AI sweeping through their school day. Now, why do we need to go there, I guess?
Well, we need to go there because we can't get teachers to teach, right? And so now it's going to be you just sitting everybody into a room and they can just watch a computer and a robot can teach them, right? Because the least amount of human interaction is really the way that you can control people's minds, right? And manipulate mm-hmm. them by fear and emotion, which is what's happening in our school system. I will say, AI, I think it would be really smart for those of us that are constitutional conservatives to figure out how to use it to our advantage, because I think it's definitely, I mean, it's here and we need to not be behind the eight ball in that term. But this is my take. Our children, in my opinion, we need less electronics. We need less handheld devices. We need less screen time. Our children are really not getting the brain development. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know. I am a nurse by trade, and you know, my daughter had some learning issues, and so we did a lot of OT and PT, and I learned a lot about child development, you know, even more so than in my nursing training. But what we're not having is there is something that happens in the brain of a developing child. When you look at a board, you know, or a whiteboard or whatever, and you have a piece of paper and you put it on a pencil, it's that even the vision of going back and forth from a distance to up close, learning cursive writing, you know, reciting math facts, doing things, it's all creating neural pathways between the left and the right hemisphere of the brain. And that's what helps us to develop. So we're actually stunting the development, the brain development of our students when we are allowing them to be on screen so much and not have that portion of learning.
That's a bad problem.
What about busing? That's a big issue.
Yes.
And is there a way, I would think, that you get people with creative minds to come in and say, you know, we can cut out some of these bus routes or combine them or whatever by looking at the numbers as to how many people are riding and
yes.
so forth and so on. Also want to remind everybody, we're talking to Michelle Morrow, who is running for superintendent of public instructions here in North Carolina. But talk about that busing.
Yeah, the busing is a real problem, not only because we can't find bus drivers to bus, but it's because, and this all kind of links back to DEI, because the way that now the districts are determining what children are going to go to what schools is 100% based on how many black, brown, and white students you have. So we're taking kids and putting them on buses over an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening. And in Wake County, where I live, children now, they've had to stagger the buses. Kids are getting to school 45 minutes late, and then other children are leaving 45 minutes early. So you think that that's not a disruption in the classroom time and what's happening. But here's the other thing. We need to go back to neighborhood schools, because especially in areas where you have a lot of single parents, when you know the other parents in the community, when you're seeing people out in the store or your kids are participating in community sports together or whatever it might be, then you're going to have more of a community feel. So when you do have needs, if your child is sick and needs to be picked up and you're in some business meeting an hour away, somebody can help you out with that, right? So that's just strengthening the communal bond and the accountability kind of within the area. So my take is we should be making every school be an excellent educational opportunity for students, right? And so it should be closest to the school you go to should be closest to your home. And I mean, that's going to take a lot of.
That's so logical that it just it's going to be.
That's my problem.
That's why they can't think of it.
Heads are going to be exploding. I'm telling you, that's not good. Now, let me ask you a question. A subject that has been much debated here in Moore County lately. The left likes to call it book banning.
Mm-hmm.
I like to call it keeping graphically vulgar junk garbage out of school libraries.
Mm-hmm.
We have had a pitched battle here where I have been shocked by the number of citizens in this community who are up in arms that it was even discussed, the idea of eliminating certain books. And it has really become so divisive. It has divided our school board. It has pitted parent against parent. It has potentially placed our school board in the position of being sued because four books were removed from the high school libraries.
Mm-hmm.
So that this is a reflection, I think, on the moral decay
yes.
of our culture, and it's inseparable from the moral decay of public education. But what is the practical answer to how this filth got into our schools and how to get it out?
I'll tell you the practical answer is it's intentional. And if you are to go right now and look at the American Library Association, the current president is a self-proclaimed lesbian Marxist who has said that we need to use this library situation to change the culture. So this is intentional. It is to make our children believe that the United States is inherently bad. But the other thing that's really that is linked to this is actually comprehensive sex ed, because this is the reality. We should be teaching topics in such a way that we are protecting the most innocent mind in our classroom, right? Book banning means that you don't want a book to be written or to be published. That is not what's happening. What we're saying is you can get these things anywhere on Amazon. You can go to Barnes & Noble. If you want this for your child and you're going to go pay your money, right? Don't pay our money. Because the reality is our children are not able to handle many of these concepts, and they can't read or do math at grade level. So many.
I need
to
interrupt you because we're down to about 40 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Here. I want to give all 40 of them to you.
Okay, thank you.
To wrap things up about your campaign.
Okay. Yes. So, you can absolutely check me out at michellemorrownc.com. But this is the reality. We need to put, first and foremost, the sound, basic, moral education that is set forth in the North Carolina State Constitution. That is what needs to be the way that we make all of our standards, the way that we pick our curriculum, and the rules and the policies that we put forth in every one of our 115 school districts.
Will you be debating your opponent anytime between now and or during early voting?
If you'd like to set one up, I've been trying to get people to set up a debate. I would love to do it.
That would be entertaining.
A lot of people are too scared to step in the arena because they might have to answer tough questions. All right, Michelle Morrow, candidate for NC Public Instruction, thank you for taking the time to come here today, and good luck in the campaign.
Thank you so much.
All right, and so it goes for this Friday. Have yourself a great, safe day. We'll see you back bright and early on Monday for a mundane Monday. Until then, be sure to support the advertisers you hear on WEEB because they're the core of our economy here in Moore County. Unlike the box stores who ship your money off to China and Sri Lanka, your money stays here with the locals and flips over and creates more jobs for all of us. And Also, if you'd like to be a part of that winning package, give us a call and find out how effective talk radio really is. I promise you, it will definitely increase your business big time. All right, that's it for me, the Leader Man, and Nick and Colt the Dog. We'll all see you this afternoon at the dog park.
When I come back, you'd better be laughing.
So, what have we learned? Heck, I don't know. But this is one crazy show. Bye now.
Cut, cut. That's it. Go home, everybody. None of this ever happened.
Well, y'all come back now, you hear?
I think we're through here.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much, man. That's pretty much all I got, man.
Okay, class dismissed. Rock on!
Well, let me tell you something. Everything comes to an end.
Rock.